Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
What text?
Evam ugashrava prishta. Rishibir naimishaya nahi. Bhagavat arpitad yatmas. Tan aha shruyatamiti. Evam ugrashrava prishta. Rishibir naimishaya nahi. Bhagavat yaripita dhyatmas. Tan aha shruyatamiti. Evam. Thus. Ugrashrava Suta Goswami Krishna, being asked Rishibihi by these sages Naimisha Ayanai
Jai Shri Krishna,
who were assembled in the forest of Naimisha. Bhagavati, unto thee, Lord, arpita, dedicated, adhyatmaha, his mind, tan, to them, Aha said Shruyatam, just hear iti, thus. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. On being asked to speak by the great sages of Naimisharanya, the son of Roma Harshana, Suta Goswami, whose mind was absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, said, please hear what I shall now speak. There is no purport. I'll read the next verse. Suta Uvacha. Okay, you don't have to repeat. I'll just... Hare drita krodha tanok swamayaya nishamya gor urdadanam rasatalat Shri Gornitai Kijan Lilam hiranyaksham avagnyaya hatam sanjata harsho munimaha bharataha. Suta Goswami continued, Virura, the descendant of Bharata, was delighted to hear the story of the Lord, who, having assumed by his own divine potency the form of a boar, had enacted the sport of lifting the earth from the bottom of the ocean and indifferently killing the demon Hiranyaksha. Vidura then spoke to the sage as follows. Purport. It is stated here that the Lord assumed the form of a boar by his own potency. His form is not actually the form of a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is forced to accept a particular type of body by the higher authority of material laws. But here it is clearly said that the Lord was not forced to accept the form of a boar by the external power. In Bhagavad Gita, the same fact is confirmed. When the Lord descends to this earth, he assumes a form by his own internal potency. The form of the Lord, therefore, can never consist of material energy. The Mayavad version that when Brahman assumes a form, the form is accepted from Maya, is not accepted. Because although Maya is superior to the conditioned soul, she is not superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She is under the control of the Supreme Godhead. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya is under his superintendence. Maya cannot overcome the Lord. The Mayavadi idea that the living entity is the Supreme Absolute Truth, but has become covered by Maya, is invalid, because Maya cannot be so great that it can cover the Supreme. The covering capacity can be employed on the part and parcel of Brahman, not on the Supreme Brahman. Only the pure devotees can properly understand the activities of the Supreme Lord, his lila, his play. The materialists will think that the Lord is one, is someone like them, that this Krishna is a legend. He's a powerful person, but he's like everybody else. He's looking at his amorous pastimes, his pastimes with the gopis. We get the view, the materialist will see that Krishna is immoral, that he's doing so many improper things. And a person who wants to also be a playboy and have many girlfriends, he'll want to imitate Krishna. The materialist, therefore, can only offend Krishna. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam. Param bhavam ajanantom mama bhuta maheshwaram. The foolish people, the gross materialists, simply criticize me because they think I'm one of them. They don't understand my supreme position. So demons like Shishupala, like Dantavakra, other foolish people of their caliber, all they could do was criticize Krishna. But worse than them are the Mayavadis. They pretend to praise Krishna, but they're actually condemning him. Narayano paro vyaktat. Yes, Narayan is beyond the material creation. He is the transcendental Lord, the personality of Godhead. But what is the philosophy of the Mayavadis? That the Absolute Truth cannot have qualities, cannot be a person. Ekam eva advitiyam brahma. The Supreme Absolute Truth is one without a second. He has no name, no form, no qualities. If we have a conception of anything that has name, form, qualities, that is illusion, the creation of Maya. So they distinguish between Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman, the real Absolute Truth, which has no qualities, and the fake imitation Absolute Truth that has a name, form, and qualities. That's Saguna Brahman. In other words, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and all his expansions, Narayan. That same Narayan, who is glorified as Parovyaktat by Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya also says that that Lord Narayan is Maya, is a creation of Maya. Because he has name, he has form, he's not the real absolute truth. He's only Saguna Brahman. He's not real. He's illusion, a creation of illusion. So how can the Mayavadis understand the activities of the Supreme Person? If they think he's unreal, then what he does is unreal also. The materialists think that the pastimes of Krishna are material activities like their own material activities. And the Mayavadis are worse. They think the activities of Krishna are just fiction, unreal. So there's no way that someone who is actually influenced by this Mayavad poison, which means today almost everybody in India, almost everybody in the whole world is influenced by Mayavad. Misunderstanding. There's no way that such people can properly understand Krishna's pastimes in his various incarnations. Nor can they explain to anybody else properly. If we hear the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam from materialists and Mayavadis, our spiritual life will be destroyed. We may say, oh, but that Bhagavat Saptaha, they're glorifying Krishna, they're speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's materialists who are doing it to make money and reputation. Or worse than that, it's Mayavadis who are speaking these Bhagavat Saptahas. If we go there and listen, it will be very harmful to our spiritual life. We should only hear the glorification of Krishna and his pastimes from pure devotees of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rosikaiksaha. Rupa Goswami recommends tasting, relishing the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam, but not just with anybody, not to hear from any materialist, any Mayavadi. Rosikaiksaha, to hear in the association of Rasika Bhaktas. Rasa? A Rasika is not just some sentimentalist. These sahajas, people who claim to have intimate relationship with Krishna, but they have not given up their intimate connection with Maya. They're sahajas. They're making it cheap. They don't know what the taste of rasa is. They're still tasting the rasa of materialism. Until you give up your taste for materialism, you cannot taste what is Krishna consciousness. So a rasika is someone who is actually tasting Krishna consciousness. Someone on the level of Maitreya, someone on the level of Sutta Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami. These are the rasikas that we can hear from. And those who are faithfully following in their line, the pure devotees, those are the people we should hear Bhagavatam from. So, in this narration, in the third canto, we have a double narration going on here. Shonaka and the sages are inquiring from Sutta. Actually, triple narration. It's not mentioned here in this verse. But it's three different conversations going on. Six people involved, not six, many, because all the sages are there. The sages are inquiring from Sutta about what Shukadev told Parikshit. And Shukadev is telling Parikshit what Maitreya told Vidura. Three conversations on top of each other. This is not just a literary device to make things a little interesting. It is essential that the Bhagavatam, that these narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes be discussed among pure devotees. If it was Professor so-and-so of the Department of South Asian Studies at the University of such-and-such that was speaking, that man is a materialist or a Mayavadi or both, and therefore he's not qualified, despite his PhD and his being head of the Department of South Asian Studies, he's not qualified to speak about Krishna's pastimes. We should not hear from him. But we should hear from Sutta speaking to the sages about Shukadev speaking to Parikshit about Maitreya speaking to Vidura about Lord Varahadev. Then we get the true understanding of who this boar, this Lord Varaha, who he actually is. He is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who created this universe. Therefore, he can deliver it from the bottom of the ocean. He's the creator and the maintainer of everything. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune. All Krishna's energies are also prakriti, including the jivas are all his prakriti. Bhumi Devi is his prakriti. She is a manifestation. She's a jiva, but she's also representative of his bhushakti, his internal pleasure potency. One of the 16 expansions of his pleasure potency, Lakshmi, in Vaikuntha, is Bhu Devi. Bhumi Devi, the demigoddess, is her representative, empowered by her. So if Varahadev assumes the role of the husband of Bhumi Devi, that is perfectly appropriate. All these are his shaktis. He's the husband of all of them. Already, without any marriage ceremony, every shakti is his prakriti. If we don't understand this, the actual position of the Supreme Lord, then how can we understand his pastimes? If we hear from pure devotees, if they bless us with the ability to understand, then it becomes clear. And then our spiritual success is assured. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktava deham punar janma naiti mameti sorujana. It's not that difficult to gain liberation from the cycle of birth and death. The Mayavadis have a difficult sadhana. They have to study Vedanta. They have to perform severe austerities. They have to somehow extract themselves from all material attachments, negate all attachments, all attractions, all desires. Avyaktam hi gatir dukam dehavadbiravapyate. But that impersonal path, that impersonal concept of the Supreme, unembodied concept of the Supreme, is very difficult to achieve for those who have bodies. We have bodies. In other words, we are people, persons. If we try to make God impersonal, it makes it very hard for us to connect with him, to have any relationship with him. We are embodied. What relationship can we have with the unembodied? Oh Lord, you are very great. But what can I do with him? What relationship can I have if he also doesn't have a body? If he isn't also a person? So the impersonal path is very difficult. The personal path is easy. Janma karma chame divyam. Janati tatvataha. Just understand properly, Krishna promises. How I am born and how I perform activities. That my birth is not like your birth. Your birth is due to your entanglement entanglement with the material energy. And your birth, therefore, is impelled, forced on you by the laws of material nature. But Krishna's birth, even his birth in this world, is not like that. Krishna takes birth when he wants, how he wants, in whatever form he wants. The only restriction is that he's very sensitive to what his devotees want. So he actually appears in the form, in the style that his devotees are desiring. But beside his voluntarily submitting to the desires of his devotees, he's completely free. He does whatever he wants, when and where he wants to do it. We cannot claim that. That makes us and God completely different. He's free. He's in control of Maya. We are slaves of Maya, of the material energy. So Krishna's birth is a lot different than our birth. We should understand how it's different. Then we can study and appreciate and gain great enthusiasm from reading about, hearing about Krishna's birth and his lila, his karma. So karma can mean the law, the mechanical working of the law of nature. I have my karma. I have to be what I am because of my karma. I cannot be something different. I'm not free to be something different. That's my karma. But that's a strict meaning of karma. A more general meaning of karma is just any activity. Karma means from the verb kri, work, activity, things you do. And it doesn't just mean work in the sense of obligation. A child playing is also karma in the general sense. He's acting. He's doing something. He's not doing something he has to do. He's doing something he wants to do. The child playing. So God's activities are not like our activities. They're not obligations, things we have to do. Krishna's karma is his lila, like a child playing. Like a child doing what he wants to do for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of his friends. That's the nature of Krishna's karma, his lila. So these two things, simply understand this. The special way that Krishna takes birth, the special way that he performs pastime activities, then we're liberated. If we simply pass that course, just like you want to get a driver's license. You don't have to go to school for 20 years to get a driver's license. You need some simple knowledge that you can draw. You can show that you know how to read the signs, that you know the rules of the road, and you have to take a driving test, actual test with a teacher sitting next to you, that you can drive the car safely and you know how to operate it properly. You can learn these things in a few months if you're not stupid. So it's simple requirements of knowledge. Just enough how to drive the car safely. Similarly, on the devotional path, you can have your diploma in liberation just by this simple course of education. Know these two things only. How Krishna takes his birth and how he performs his pastime activities. How it's different than your activities. Take a quiz. Answer two questions correctly. You get liberation. Simple. Much simpler than the impersonal path. And the materialists don't have any path. They have no concept of liberation. So the devotees are so fortunate. They have such an easy way. Tyaktva deham punar janma. When they die, they won't have to take birth again. And that's not all. There's an extra bonus. Not only liberation, mam eti sorjana, and he goes to Krishna. You get not only liberation, you also get Krishna. Why not do it? Here is the Bhagavatam. Study it. Just like, okay, students want to pass the test, so they go and take some tutoring. They go to a company that teaches after school. They go to school. After school, they go for the tutoring class, so they'll get good grades. So here's our tutoring class. You want to pass this quiz. Make sure that you get the two questions right. Study Srimad Bhagavatam every day. You may have your obligations. Whatever extra time you have, practice for the test. Study these two questions. How Krishna takes his birth, how he performs his activity. It's all explained very clearly and very in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Maharaj.
Narakasura was the son of Narakasura.
Yes.
And he was killed by Krishna.
Yes, he killed his own son. Yes. Why did Narakasura become a demon? I don't remember. I don't think that's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why Narakasura? He was a demon. And Krishna tells us elsewhere that he will punish even his own son if his son does bad. So he's only following the laws of religion. His son turned out to be a demon, so Krishna killed him. That's benefiting him also, the son, his proper punishment. For the things Narakasura did, some horrendous things. He offended and harassed the great demigods, Indra's mother, Varuna. He did terrible things to all of them. So he should have been killed. That's obvious. And Krishna cannot be blamed for that. But your question, I don't know. Why did he become a demon? He's Krishna's son. He's Bhumi Devi's son, the Supreme Lord and a great devotee of the Lord. His own expansion of his own pleasure potency. So why is the son a demon? Maybe the answer's there, somewhere in the Puranas. I don't know. It happens. Advaitacharya had six sons. He's the Supreme Lord also. Three of his sons turned out to be Mayavadis. He rejected them. He didn't kill them, but he said, "You're not my sons anymore." He had nothing to do with them. That happens. It's part of the Lord's Leela. It doesn't happen unless the Lord wants it to happen. It's just part of his pastimes. And sometimes great devotees of the Lord, their children also turn out to be non-devotees. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is, it's the responsibility of parents to love their children, even if they don't want to become devotees. No? That's the responsibility of a parent. You can't normally just ignore your children or reject them. That's, you know, we're not God. We're not a Advaitacharya that we can imitate that pastime. If my son wants to be something other than a Krishna's devotee, I still have to support him. It's very sad. Anyway, I think this is Krishna teaching us. Don't expect to be happy in the material world. You think having children will make you happy. What if your children turn out not to be devotees? And to show that, Krishna himself does it. His own son turns out to be a demon. He's actually doing it to set an example. Don't expect that by having children that will make you automatically happy. They may turn out bad. Having a child is gambling. You don't know what the result's going to be. So Krishna in his own life, he showed that. But exactly why, or, you know, specifically why Narakasura was a demon or became a demon, I'm not sure.
Jai Shri Krishna Balaram.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.